Hello, queers. You're listening to Movies a la Queer. This is Sarita Ramirez, and this is going to be an episode. This is an episode that I have been avoiding, but I have been avoiding for a reason. And I do want to apologize in advance that this took a lot of effort to get done. This was an episode that did take a lot. And I promise I will go into detail throughout the analysis, but there was a lot to cover and also a lot to throw away because a lot was thrown at us from this season. If you haven't figured it out already, without further ado, on this episode, we are talking about season 3 of Killing Eve. Killing Eve, a British-American drama and dark comedy series based on the novels Codename Villanelle by Luke Jennings, show created by Phoebe Waller-Bridge. Season 3 is written by Suzanne Heathcote, and it stars Sandra Oh and Jodie Comer. Here's the Season 3 trailer.
When I think about my ex today, I realize I am so much happier now she's dead.
You know, you really shouldn't leave your front door open considering the amount of people that have tried to kill you.
Okay, listeners, like every episode of Movies a la Queer that has a full, thorough recap, and like the other Killing Eve season 1 and 2, if you haven't listened to those episodes of Movies a la Queer, or if you haven't even watched those seasons of Killing Eve, I suggest that you stop, go watch them, and then go listen to the analysis episodes on season 1 and 2, and then come back. Because, as always, there will be spoilers. I am doing a pretty thorough recap of season 3, and there is a lot to get into. But if you are like me and you don't mind getting spoiled, you love to get spoiled rotten, then listen away. There's no judgment here. Feel free to keep listening. So this season opens up with a flashback from 1974 Moscow. We are in Moscow, y'all. A young Russian girl is in her gymnastics practice and her coach is yelling at her to, you know, be better and to push herself harder. Now, I don't speak Russian, but I'm just assuming. And the show does provide some subtitles. So for context, I guess. Now, just as this Russian girl is about to stick her landing following her round on the uneven bars, the doors of the gymnasium slam shut, which just takes her off her game. She wobbles a little bit, and sadly, she doesn't stick her landing. Now, her coach gets super furious, and he starts calling her a piece of shit, and that she's always going to be a piece of shit, and that if she doesn't figure this out, she'll continue being a piece of shit. So this leaves the girl furious, and she goes back to the locker rooms, and in comes her boyfriend, I guess, the one that also slammed the doors when he left. And this guy brings her some like little white flowers that looks like he just picked them up from outside. All that landscaping hard work for nothing. Funny enough, but these white flowers look like carnations. Carnations are one of the many flowers that people usually give at a funeral. Kind of a bad omen. And if that wasn't ominous enough, the girl actually does end up killing the boy. You know, she's banging his head against one of the benches at this locker room where they met up. And then she takes this bag of chalk nearby that, you know, the chalk that's used by gymnasts to do their gymnastics. And she dumps the chalk all over the face of this, what we presume is a dead boy. And then she leaves. She's like, peace out. Flash forward to modern day Spain. We see that Villanelle is getting married. And her bride, yeah, Villanelle's getting married. Let's just leave that alone for a second. Okay, great. And her bride, this woman named Maria, is giving this toast to how she met Villanelle. And apparently, Villanelle walked up to her at this airport, where we can assume it was the airport at Rome from last season. And Villanelle told Maria, listen, I'm going wherever you're going. And then it was paradise after that. Then it's Villanelle's turn to speak. Villanelle stands up and she's like, hey, if I knew that getting married would be so much fun, I would have done it a lot more. Ha ha ha. And then she says the first thing she noticed about Maria was Maria's shoes, and that along with Maria came a good hairdresser and, well, aka money, and that she was immediately sold. She also mentions that she went through this really bad breakup, aka Eve, and how she doesn't care that her ex-girlfriend is dead, and that she's actually much happier knowing that she is dead. Yeah, okay. It's a bit of an awkward speech, and you can tell by the rest of the attendees at this wedding that it's not really soaked in well. If anything, Maria's laughing, thinking that this is a joke. Yeah, so funny, Maria. So not long after, the wedding gets cut short by this mysterious person, this mysterious woman that we can assume was not invited to this wedding. And she's just standing there watching Villanelle and Maria. And Villanelle finally takes notice of this woman, and then she just goes and lunges at her, and the two start to fight. And of course, chaos ensues, and everyone starts fighting one another in this wedding. Needless to say, the wedding was annulled, it was canceled, and Villanelle and this mysterious woman, who we learn her name is Dasha, were thrown out of this wedding. So now we're in Barcelona. And we learned that the woman from the wedding, yes, Dasha, she's actually the same woman from the Russian Moscow flashback from the 70s, and that she apparently trained Villanelle in the beginning of Villanelle's assassination career. Now, Dasha is trying to convince Villanelle to come back to kill for the 12, that organization that is evil, and MI6, the British FBI or CIA. Honestly, it's a lot to soak in, but yes, the 12 are the bad people, I guess, maybe. And Villanelle is over it. Villanelle is not really wanting to come back. She doesn't want to keep killing. I think shooting Eve last season shook her up a bit. So she's kind of giving some pushback. Now, Villanelle says that she'll come back to assassinate for the 12 only if they promote her to be a keeper. Now, what is a keeper, you ask? I don't know, but it sounds like a very good top position, higher than Constantine and Dasha for sure. Now, Dasha tells Villanelle, listen, you need to forget about people like Eve, that you need to stop thinking about other people that aren't in the 12 or assassins, because those people will never be us. We will never be them. We can't have those things like normal people can. Assassins can't aim to have that life because it will just never work out for them. Okay, subjective. So back in London, Eve, oh, by the way, Eve is alive. She is not dead, okay? After many episodes of different angsty drama shows, I mean, I grew up on telenovelas, okay? And one thing about telenovelas is that if you don't see the coroner's report, if you don't see a dead body, if you don't see them being actually pronounced dead at the scene or at the hospital or what have you, they're not dead. So Eve is alive, because the last time we saw her, she was lying face down in this Roman ruin. But yeah, she's alive. She's alive and well. She's recovering, but she's not going through a good time. She's actually very depressed. The first time we see her, she's shopping at this Korean supermarket, and she's buying a crap ton of instant noodles and frozen food. And listen, I'm not judging her, because this is me every week. I go to Kmart. Not Kmart. I go to H Mart. I go to Joong Buong here in Chicago. All to say is that noodles are my thing, okay? So seeing this Eve, this side of Eve, I don't judge it. I think this is normal. Her depression may not be, her mood is pretty rotten, and you can tell she's just not taking anyone's shit. And who can blame her? I mean, she was shot by Villanelle in Rome, and she was also betrayed by MI6. So Eve is also working at a Korean restaurant in New Malden, which just so happens to be the Koreatown of London. So checking you out once quarantine and COVID is no longer a problem. Thanks, Google. And it looks as though Eve is also not with Nico. Now, if you guys remember, Nico and Gemma, who was his colleague, teacher in that high school, I don't know. Gemma and Nico were attacked by Villanelle, and then Gemma was killed, but not Nico because Villanelle knows better. And we didn't know what really happened to him after that. Well, now we know. Nico is in this like rehabilitation center, and Eve goes to visit him every so often. And he, every single time she appears, Nico has this face of like, hey, Eve, you didn't have to come again. And Eve is like, listen, we're going to get through this. And he's like, no, Eve, I'm done. She's like, no, we're going to figure this out. And he's like, okay, if you say so. Needless to say, Eve isn't having a great time. She's not doing well with Nico. She's recovering from that wound on her chest. She's not having a good time. And if things weren't rough enough, because, you know, this is still episode one, by the way, Kenny, Carolyn's son, we know, we love Kenny. Kenny is probably one of the most underrated characters in the series. Ends up dying at the end of episode one. Now, I'm gonna go more into just that in my thoughts later in this episode, but yeah. But let me rewind a bit so not to confuse you, because Kenny ends up finding Eve at her creepy abandoned studio to check in on her. And he tells Eve, like, hey, I'm no longer working with my mom. I'm not working with Carolyn. And instead, I'm doing some investigative journalism for this underground online publishing company called Bitter Pill. And he tries to convince Eve, you know, to come join him for drinks and to just like get out of that dump cycle of mood that she's in. And Eve is like, I don't know, maybe we'll see. And then eventually she comes around to it and she's like, all right, I'll think about it. So when Eve goes to the Bitter Pill office, it's abandoned. There's like no one there. And she's thinking, hey, I'm supposed to meet up with Kenny, but she finds his phone on his desk, but Kenny's nowhere to be found. So she's like, hello, like, you know, she's calling him, and then, you know, the phone's right there. And then she hears this like loud bang outside of the building, and she looks out the window, and then she just starts running. She's like, no, this isn't good. She runs downstairs, runs outside of the building. And once she gets there, we see what she's seeing, and it's Kenny's lifeless body on the ground. So Kenny's dead. And during Kenny's funeral, I still can't believe that we saw that, but he died. We learned that his death had been ruled a suicide by officials, or officially ruled a suicide, that he jumped from the top of the building to his death for whatever, no motive was given. Now, Eve doesn't believe that, and nor does Carolyn, but she's putting on this good face. She's very stoic, and if she's not stoic, she's socializing with her colleagues at the funeral. She's not making it seem like she's upset or crying or anything, which what else can we expect from Carolyn? So a few days later, Carolyn approaches Eve at the Korean restaurant that Eve works at now, and she tries to convince her to return to work. Which Eve is like, are you fucking kidding me? After what you did to me, after what you and MI6 did to me and betrayed me and pretty much just left me to die? Okay, I will totally work for you. No, but Carolyn tells her, listen, I want to know who killed my son. I want to know who killed Kenny. And I think that you should also know that Villanelle is back and she's working again. We thought she died. Oops. And Eve is like, good luck finding out who killed your son. And then she walks away, but she's freaking out because she starts puking. So back in Barcelona, Villanelle is given everything she wants. She has the flat with all the amenities that she wanted. But in order for her to be this keeper, this promoted keeper, high level position for the 12, she needs to work her way up. She needs to go back to assassinating people. And Dasha, the Russian murderess herself, who's now a gymnastics instructor for little girls, even though she has a criminal record, I don't know how she got away with that, is there to guide her through it, despite her having her own ulterior motives. And Villanelle isn't having a great time, to say the least. She's finding it hard to do her job. She doesn't find the same thrill that we saw her having when she would kill those people in season 1 and 2. She's getting a bit restless, and she's not on her A game. And by A, I mean assassination game. I'm stupid. So Constantine pays her a visit, to which she repays by throwing cups and plates at him because she's upset. She's upset at his betrayal from season 2. But Constantine tells Villena, listen, I care about you and I'm trying to tell you to be careful. I know you're back with the 12 and you think you're safe, but you're not. And she's like, oh yeah, you don't think I'm safe? And he's like, no, I don't think you're safe. But she doesn't believe him. She's like, whatever, screw you. And then he's like, oh, by the way, Eve is alive. And she's like, no, that's not possible. I shot her ass. She's not alive. And Constantine's like, no, you shot her, but you walked away because you were upset and you didn't check to see if she was dead. So she's not. And this leaves Villanelle a bit dazed and confused. But something tells me that she's like happy as hell. Because she starts laughing like... like when somebody finds out that the person that they hate just said something to give them a reason to go after them, she's like, oh, oh snap, it's going to be good. I just needed a reason. Back in London, we learned that Kenny, he was actually investigating something fishy going on with MI6 and the 12. And even though he wasn't working for Carolyn, he was doing his own like undercover work, figuring things out. You know, Kenny was such a tech genius that he was able to figure out, I don't know, formulas and rituals and routines and patterns with certain numerical transactions. I don't know what I'm saying. But yeah, Kenny was getting really close to finding out something big, something really, really fucked up happening with MI6. So Carolyn and Eve think that whatever or whomever that Kenny was getting close to is the reason for his death. So Eve and Villanelle, by the way, they have this like really funny ass reunion, and it's probably one of my favorite parts of this season. So they have a reunion on the second level of a double decker. And for those that don't know, a double decker, which sounds like a burger, and I'm maybe because I'm hungry right now, but it's actually a bus, like a public transportation bus, and with 2 levels. And they're fun to ride. They're really cool. They make no noise. It's awesome. And Villanelle smoothly walks in to where Eve is sitting up in that top level, and she greets her and she's like, hi, Eve. And Eve smiles. Just kidding. No, she doesn't. She goes batshit crazy. She starts like slapping Villanelle and like grabbing her and like tries to punch her, but doesn't really land any except like one big slap. And Villanelle's like enjoying this. Like she takes Eve by the collar and she's like dragging her to the back of the bus. And it's funny because the other patrons in the bus, they're just looking at them and they're, instead of trying to stop it or anything, they're like the spectators that are like, I don't belong here. Let me just stand up and walk away. Like, this got nothing to do with me. Funny moment. And Villanelle's holding Eve by the collar of her shirt, and she has this like sly smile, totally enjoying this moment. And she pins Eve down onto like one of the bus benches, and she looks at Eve and she's like, smell me, Eve. And then Eve looks up at her, and Eve is like pissed and stunned and like upset, and like she kisses her. She kisses her, y'all. We waited 3 seasons. We waited 16 and like, well, now that's 18. We waited 18 episodes to get a kiss from these 2. We finally got it. It was a nice little moment, and you can tell that Villanelle was like super surprised. But the nice moment didn't last long, of course, because then Eve decides to headbutt Villanelle. Yeah, Villanelle gets off the bus, and I always think watching the 2 of them interact in these past 2 and now, you know, a few episodes in for the 3rd season, I always thought that they just have this choreographed ballet type of way of interacting, and everything just works out. Like there's like bings and booms and like signs. I don't even know if I'm making any sense. It's like watching a ballet. It's very choreographed, but not in that cheesy sword fighting Batman versus thugs way. Like Eve kisses Villanelle and then proceeds to headbutt her. And then at the same time of the headbutt, the bus stops at the next bus stop to which Villanelle gets off. And then the bus is taken off. And then somehow Villanelle is looking at Eve through the glass of the bus. And it's just very flowy. It's beautiful. the things I watch it for. So later that evening, Eve returns back to her studio and sees that Villanelle left her like a little surprise. It's a stuffed bear, a really creepy stuffed bear with a recording, like those Build-A-Bear workshops. There's a recording inside the bear, which Eve just tears up. She's like, what the fuck? And inside the recording, it's Villanelle saying, "Admit it, Eve. You wish I was here." So Eve is now afraid to sleep at her place for whatever reason. Oh no, it's not the fact that there's an assassin after her. You know, it can't be that, right? So Eve is now afraid to sleep at her place for the next few episodes. So she's either sleeping at the Bitter Pill office or she's sleeping at Jamie Hyman, the big boss man at Bitter Pill. She sleeps at his place. They don't have a romantic thing thus far, so they're working together as well. So the Bitter Pill people and Eve are working together to also figure out what happened to Kenny. Kenny belonging to Bitter Pill, they want to know what happened to Kenny. So while at the Bitter Pill office, Eve gets some photos from Nico, who discharged himself from that rehab center, and he left London to go to Poland, which is apparently where he's also from. We learned that in season one. So Eve makes the choice to go after him. Eve is like, you know what? I want to fix things with Nico. And now that Nico is like sending her these messages and being like, hey, you actually want to talk? Like, come here, let's talk. But we know that it's not Nico sending her these messages. Nico wanted to leave and leave Eve behind. He wanted to restart his life. And the person that's actually sending these messages is Dasha. Because Dasha came up with a plan, and with some woman from the 12, Hélène, came up with a plan to like separate Eve and Villanelle further, because this is apparently what's like on their minds, to get Villanelle back to being this killing machine that they want her to be. So Dasha's like, you know what? I'm going to go to Poland. I'm going to find Nico and I'm going to kill him. And I'm going to make it seem like it was Villanelle who did it. So that's exactly what happens. Eve goes to Poland, figures out where Nico's staying. And then when she arrives at his location, she's like, hey. And Nico turns to look at her and he's like, oh, hey. But you can tell that he's confused and he wasn't expecting her. And just in that moment, a pitchfork is speared through Nico's throat. And we know who did it. It was Dasha, right? The woman who's like coaching and handling Villanelle. And Dasha leaves this little note on the pitchfork and she disappears. And when Eve goes to figure out like, what was that? Who did it? The note's like, I still got it! Exclamation point. I guess to give a hint that it was Villanelle who did it and this is personal. But you know what? Eve ain't stupid, okay? Eve knows that Villanelle can't touch Nico. And for those that are worried, Nico's alive. Nico's fine. Eve is pissed. And now Eve's trying to figure out who the hell did this to Nico. Because she doesn't know it's Dasha yet. She doesn't know about Dasha. We're given a little look to Villanelle's personal life. Because now we're in Russia. We're actually in Russia. And we're following Villanelle as she's on this quest to figure out where she came from and who her family is. And this episode was really interesting and also hard to watch at times because we learned that Villanelle, aka Oksana, she comes from a family that lives out in a rural area of Russia. In this small village where, you know, everyone knows how many people live there and every other house in town and they know who they are, they know who's sleeping with who, and they know each other's names. Like, it's a very small community town. And Oksana learns that her mother, Tatiana, remarried and that Tatiana's family situation is like this Brady Bunch situation. And Villanelle's brother and her mother recognize her instantly when they see her. Now, they haven't seen her since she was a little girl. Now, the rest of the family members, like Tatiana's husband and his kid and his kid's girlfriend, they're all looking like, who the fuck is Oksana? Didn't she die? Like, how do you know that's even your sister? How do you know that's your daughter? How did she find us? Like, what the hell? And we find out later that it was actually Constantine who gave Villanelle the information to find her parents and to find out her past, I guess. But this whole episode is very interesting. And I say this again because we find out that Oksana's mom, the whole point of this is to see that Oksana's mother, Tatiana, she's a manipulative, horrible person. She abandoned Villanelle at this orphanage or at a group home to get rid of her because apparently her father left them or maybe her father died. We actually still don't know what happened there. And the mother wanted nothing to do with Oksana. And after they spend the whole day together and they do this like festival thing together, Tatiana goes up to Oksana, Villanelle, and tells her, I want you to leave. This isn't your home. This isn't your family. I want you to go. You are evil. You have darkness. You have something. I don't want you to ruin my life. I don't want my husband to be anywhere near you. And I, Sarita, took that as the mother is very jealous of Villanelle and was jealous of Villanelle when Villanelle was a toddler and was jealous of the attention that Villanelle's father was given to her and that it was taken away from Tatiana, the mom, which is why I think, and there's theories out there that Tatiana killed Villanelle's dad and then dropped off Villanelle at a group home. Or there's other theories and we'll talk about them later. Well, Oksana, aka Villanelle, she ain't having none of that. And she and Tatiana have this showdown of words. And at the end of this reunion, you know, Villanelle just decides to kill her. She kills her mother and her mother's husband and her husband's oldest son and his girlfriend that were like super annoying, but I don't know, did they deserve to die? I don't know. But she does save the lives of her youngest half-brother, the Elton John loving, obsessed half-brother, and her younger brother, Pyotr, who kept sleeping in the barn for some reason. And that was the family episode in Russia. Ta-doom. So according to The 12 and their new spokesperson, Hélène, played by that French actress Camille Coton, Villanelle has been upgraded to be a keeper. And this is the position that she's been like vying for this entire season. But of course, it's not really much of a promotion because when she figures out what she has to do as a keeper, she's still assigned assassinations. So it's not really much different. And she's like, what the hell? This is the same thing I was doing before. And Hélène's like, well, what did you think? You're a killing machine. We need you to do this. What did you think was going to happen? And Villanelle's over it. So she's super over it by now. And she is sent to kill this like annoying American tourist at this golf club in Scotland. And Dasha is sent with her because, I don't know, for moral support or to make sure that she actually does it. Not sure. But I bet to have her there to urge her to do it in case Villanelle freaks out again. Well, instead of the American, Villanelle swings her golf club at Dasha and she knocks her unconscious and she's like, fuck you, I'm out of here. And she tells that annoying American guy to run away and Villanelle leaves the scene with Dasha on the ground, bleeding out, I don't know. Eve and her discount MI6 team, aka Bitter Pill, they find a way to track where Villanelle and Dasha are and they find out that they're in Scotland. So here's Eve going to Scotland. Eve and Villanelle run into each other at a nearby train station and then there's Constantine also there because he was going to meet up with Villanelle for them to escape the 12, escape everything, maybe go to Cuba, I don't know. But Constantine is suffering from what looks like a heart attack on this like train platform floor. So Villanelle leaves him to get the money that they need to escape the 12 and Eve arrives just in time to be like, Constantine, where is she? Where is Villanelle? And Constantine, you know, dying, pointing at the train. And then you see Villanelle like, oh, hey, Eve, you know, inside the train, like they wave at each other and then that's it. But don't worry, Constantine lives, Dasha dies, and everything is back to normal, right? Well, no, because this is when the chase resumes. You know, that same cat and mouse chase, Villanelle and Eve chase, yada, yada, yada. And back in London, because now Villanelle took that train to go to London. Villanelle tries to convince Carolyn, you know, Carolyn, MI6 Carolyn, Kenny's son who dies, mom Carolyn. Villanelle tries to convince Carolyn to let her come and work for MI6 as a spy because, you know, she can do that switched identities thing. She can wear the masks. She can wear the wigs and all the costumes. Pretty much what she's doing for the 12, except not killing anyone. And Carolyn tells her, no, you were trained for one thing and one thing only. And if you take the killing out of Villanelle and you don't kill anymore, so what's the point of you? Who are you? Which is very disappointing because that just shows me that Carolyn is also a piece of shit, by the way. But whatever. We're not there at how I feel about the season yet. So let me just wait for that until a little later. So after that horrible meeting with Carolyn at a grand opera house, no less, Villanelle and Eve meet up at this old-fashioned ballroom where the two of them sit and watch these people dance on the dance floor in front of them. And Villanelle tells Eve that she wants to be like those people out on the dance floor because they seem carefree and they seem like they're enjoying their lives. And Eve is listening to Villanelle and notices that Villanelle's eyes are swelling up in tears, and she's asking her, did anything happen? Like, what happened? But Villanelle doesn't reply. Villanelle doesn't say anything. Instead, they're interrupted by what I assume is the host of the ballroom, and he's telling them, listen, you need to get up and dance. So Villanelle says, I don't dance. Dancing is not my thing. And Eve is like, okay, it's not mine either, but like, let's do it anyway. Let's like blend in with these people. So she nudges Villanelle to join her out on the dance floor. And this is a cute moment. The two of them are holding each other, swaying to the jazz music. They're not really dancing any waltz or any tango. Like, they're just swaying. And Villanelle spots this older couple dancing close to them. And she asks Eve, you know, would you like to be like them? And Eve is like, not anymore. And Villanelle's like, why not? And then Eve is like, well, we'd consume each other before we got old. And Villanelle says that, huh, that actually sounds quite nice, actually. Oh, Villanelle and her flirting never misses. So after a moment, she tells Eve that, you know, she's killed a lot of people and that she's tired. And she sounds tired. She sounds even remorseful. And in that moment, Rianne, who is this goon that we meet earlier that works for the 12, arrives at this ballroom. I don't know how. I don't know how she knows that Villanelle's there. I don't know how she knows that. Does she have a tracking device on Villanelle? Like, so Villanelle sends Eve away and is like, listen, our party's being crashed. You gotta go. Just leave. Villanelle joins Rianne, I guess, to go back to the 12 headquarters where Hélène is. And Villanelle just starts being annoying. She starts like poking and tickling Rianne, and Rianne's like, bitch, stop. And Villanelle's like, oh, stop. So they get into this agitated fight, and Villanelle ends up killing Rianne, of course, because Villanelle's like this killing machine, and apparently she can kill anybody, even other trained assassins, without an issue. And now, after killing Rianne, Villanelle sets off to find Eve and to find Constantine, because for them to escape, again, Cuba. So the gang, and by the gang I mean Constantine, Eve, Villanelle, and Carolyn, they all reunite at Paul's house. Now, who's Paul? Paul is a coworker, a colleague of Carolyn's at MI6, and he's just a very dislikable person. I mean, we meet him briefly earlier in the season, and he's just very disingenuous and condescending, so we don't like him. But apparently he's quite important now, because he's the one that has been double agenting, I guess, and working for the 12 and MI6. Like, he is a rat. He is a huge rat. And Constantine, who was lured to Paul's house by Paul, because here's Carolyn with a gun in her hand about to shoot Constantine and Paul, turns out that Constantine did have something to do with Kenny's death. Kenny, Carolyn's son. And Carolyn's like, you killed my son. Why did you kill my son? And Constantine says, no, I didn't kill Kenny. But Paul, you know, this fucking rat, he did send me there to talk to Kenny and to try to stop him from like finding out information about Paul and like him working with the 12. And I don't know, I was trying to get Kenny to work with us, to work for the 12. But Kenny got scared and he kept on moving closer towards the ledge. And then he fell. And Carolyn's like, I don't believe you. And she's like, get down on your knees. And Constantine's like freaking out, because he's like, I would never kill Kenny. I would never kill someone I love. And I guess we get the hint that maybe Constantine was Kenny's father. I don't know. Very telenovela at this moment. And Eve and Villanelle, by the way, they're just sitting on another like love seat couch, and they're just watching this. They're just like, this is like a performance. This is a performance to them. They're watching. Eve is like horrified. Villanelle's like super entertained with a smile on her face. We don't know what's happening. But instead of shooting Constantine, she shoots Paul. And then she tells Constantine, get out before I change my mind. And then Constantine like takes his stuff and he looks at Villanelle and he's like, are you coming? And she's like, no. And he's like, why not? And Villanelle's like, because you're not family, which is the same thing that Constantine told her last season when he betrayed her. So Eve is furious. She's mad. She's asking Carolyn, like, why did you kill Paul if he was like, if he had a connection to the 12? But Carolyn's like, listen, there's no point in chasing after the 12 anymore. They're probably never going to win. We, MI6, is probably never going to win against the 12. And Villanelle agrees to this. She's like, Eve, you should listen to her. The 12 is very strong. They're very powerful. And Eve just leaves in frustration. And Villanelle chases after her, of course. Now we're on the London Bridge. London Bridge is falling down. And on the London Bridge, Villanelle catches up to Eve and the both of them look out into the river or whatever's below them. And Villanelle tells Eve, listen, Eve, I'm just done with killing. Villanelle doesn't want to do it anymore. She's over it. She's done. And Eve looks at her and she's like, what the hell happened to us? Eve is looking at like the people walking behind them on the bridge. And Eve tells Villanelle, I used to be like these people, like these normal people on the bridge with a life. She had a husband. She had a house. She had a chicken. And Villanelle says that Eve was never like them, but asks, do you still want all of those things? Do you want that house and that husband and the chicken? And Eve thinks about it. And she says probably the sweetest thing this whole season, that when she thinks about her future, the only thing she sees is Villanelle's face. Very sweet. And Villanelle laughs and is like, yeah, it's a beautiful face. Yeah, so the two share this lighthearted comedy for a moment. And Villanelle then asks Eve, you know, did I ruin your life? And do you think of me as a monster? And Eve looks back at Villanelle and she says, Villanelle, you are so many things. And Eve adds that everyone has monsters within them, but that most people just somehow find a way to keep those monsters hidden. And Villanelle laughs and is like, oh, my monster encourages your monster. And Eve is like, well, maybe I wanted to. She doesn't say it like that. I mean, I wish she said it like that. She says it more like, well, maybe I wanted your monster to encourage mine. So after another moment, Eve asks Villanelle, help me stop. And she's not really super clear on what she needs help stopping from. But what I can assume is that she wants to stop this chase. She wants to stop wanting to fix things and wanting to solve murder or assassination or crimes. I don't know exactly what Eve wants to stop from, but it seems like she wants to stop this bad behavior, this pattern of behavior. And Villanelle tells her, like, all you need to do is just, we just need to turn around from each other, our backs facing one another, and then we just walk in opposite directions and not look back ever. And they do that. And Eve and Villanelle part ways on that London Bridge, both walking in opposite directions. But after what looks like they walked 100 feet away from each other, they both stop and they both look at each other. And that song, Tell Me, by Johnny Jewel, featuring Saoirse Ronan, is playing in the background. And then the screen goes black. And that's the end of season 3. We made it! Okay, I will be honest with you all. This season was tough to watch. And tough to watch again after that. Because there are things that you notice the second time around, like when at Kenny's funeral and Eve and Constantine are bantering and bickering back and forth, and when Eve says, you know, he didn't jump, and Constantine's like, of course he jumped, he chose it. And you can tell that Constantine feels a bit guilty, and his eyes are lingering on Eve as he's saying that, and it gives you some hints that maybe he had something to do with it, but I didn't catch those the first time around, so it was nicely hidden in there. Yeah, the second time watching this scene, I understand now that those expressions were guilt, but it was masked very well, because I didn't suspect Constantine the whole time. But he knew that Carolyn would be looking for a reason as to why this happened. And I think that's why he was really looking for an escape. He wanted to escape the 12 and escape Carolyn, because he knows that Carolyn will find out eventually that he had something to do with it. And that's why he was really pushing to, like, go to Cuba. And yeah, I do think that Kenny did die accidentally. I don't think Constantine made it happen on purpose, because, like I mentioned during the recap, I do believe the theory that he was Kenny's biological father somehow, because he and Carolyn did have an affair, or they've had many affairs. I'm not exactly sure. And they are both important to one another for some reason. We've seen that for these past few seasons, that they keep running into each other and they both like each other. So I don't think that Constantine would purposely kill Kenny. I think Kenny got scared, and Kenny's a bit of like clumsy. I don't know. He just gives off the vibe that he would trip over his own shoelace, and maybe he did fall off the ledge. It happens, right? But aside from this plot, this slash very important plot that I think took over the rest of the show's main plot to me, which I think is Eve and Villanelle and killing Eve, I didn't enjoy it as much. I felt like every episode had so much filling in it that the 8 episodes just vanished in front of you. And yes, Kenny died, and that's very important, and I'm very upset about it because Kenny was one of my favorite characters, and he was just so cute, and I hated that they killed him. Like, that pissed me off, y'all. Like, I did not want him to die, and they killed him in episode 1. Like, it's like what they did with Bill. They killed Bill in episode 3 of season 1, and I was shocked, and now I was super shocked that they killed Kenny. So yes, Kenny died, and that's important because they had to figure out why and how. And it ended up being that he actually did die accidentally. Okay. But then even that took over the rest of the season, even more so than learning about Villanelle's upbringing with her toxic ass mother, who she ends up killing, right? Again, I don't think she actually wanted to kill every person who was in that house. I don't think she really wanted to kill her stepfather, because her stepfather seemed like a nice guy and they got along when they spoke. And yes, the stepfather's son and his girlfriend were so annoying, but I don't think she would purposely kill them because she hated them. I think she killed them because they saw her. And in Villanelle's mind is probably like, listen, they know who I am. These are witnesses. Gotta tie up these loose ends. They all gotta go. But even that episode was super rushed. I don't think I necessarily needed another episode to round out about how fucked up her mother was or whatever, but I didn't care for that festival thing that they had. And we didn't need to see all of that. Like, yes, we saw Villanelle in her element. We saw Oksana having fun with her family and her brother that she was estranged from, and her estranged mother and all that. And I think that was important. And learning about her little half-brother who loves Elton John, like, totally cool. But they could have shown more than that. You know what I mean? They could have shown more than that. It was all just very rushed. Again, we don't really know what happened to Villanelle's father, although Redditors are going ham and they believe that it's Constantine, which I love. I love that theory because that would just make sense. But also no, because Constantine has been a father figure, right? He's been such a father figure to Villanelle, but also a very bad father figure to Villanelle. Like, he did abandon his family, which Constantine is very quick to abandon. All to say that I can see it happening and also not happening. I can do without, but that would also be a lovely thing to add in season 4. But I do think that this season 3, was just not very good. It wasn't as enjoyable to watch in comparison to the others so far. I mean, we had to wait 3 seasons to get a kiss from these two. And I guess the whole point of the show was that there's this cat and mouse game between Villanelle and Eve, and that there's also this like romantic and sexual attraction of somewhere. And we finally get a kiss in season 3, and it's like one kiss. Like, they couldn't even kiss in the ballroom? Come on, y'all. And again, I don't think that it's queer baiting, like I've said in the other 2 episodes. And I don't think that there's any of that queer baiting here. But I do think that this maybe love story that's supposed to be happening between Eve and Villanelle, it's drying out, y'all. In my eyes, anyway. Like, I'm less convinced that it's even reciprocated. And the more that I see them together, or apart from that final scene on the bridge, it's starting to be a bit mother-daughter relationship to me. It's getting to be a bit of a mother-daughter vibe. And you guys tell me if I'm overthinking it or if I'm just getting upset at the fact that there's no more smooching. Like, it's just not, like, I can see that Villanelle is definitely attracted to Eve, but I think Eve is more trying to mother Villanelle. I don't know. But apart from all that, here are some of the things that stood out to me this season. My favorite scene, absolutely, hands down, was that ballroom scene in episode 8. Of course, it was also the finale of the season. Like, ugh, they just left all the good stuff to the end. That ballroom scene was very sweet. Villanelle looked amazing, as always. There's also that scene that I found very interesting. Villanelle having that meeting with Carolyn and asking her for a job that doesn't involve assassinating people. And here you have Carolyn, who's supposed to be working for MI6, which are what, allegedly the good guys. And Carolyn turns her down and says, nah. And that just goes to show that Carolyn is not a good guy. She's not necessarily a good person. She's not even trying to help anybody. She's only looking out for herself. She's as selfish as the rest of them. She's as selfish as Constantine, in my opinion. And last but not least, the question on everyone's mind, is there a season 4? So according to Peter White, who writes for Deadline, Killing Eve has been renewed for a 4th season, and this season will be its final season. Hallelujah. I am someone that's like, no, give me 3 seasons of a show and it's good. Like The Leftovers. If you haven't seen The Leftovers, it's on HBO. It is fantastic. I know we're not talking about The Leftovers, but it's amazing. And it had 3 seasons and it was tied up nicely. Bam, that's all you need. So yes, Killing Eve has been renewed for a 4th and final season. And apparently BBC America wants to create these potential spinoffs or for drama or comedy series based on the Villanelle world. And I don't know if I'll be interested in watching that. Sorry. Probably not, but at least this story will have an ending, and it will end in season 4, allegedly. And season 4 is scheduled to premiere in 2022 and will be written by Laura Neal, who, for those that don't know, is the writer for Netflix's Sex Education. And I watched Sex Education, and it is a really funny show. And if you would like to listen to an episode on sex education, let me know and I will make one. Now, to read Peter White's Deadline article, I've also put it into the show notes. And to watch season 3 of Killing Eve, it is available to stream on BBC America and Hulu. I thank you guys again for listening to this episode of Movies a la Queer. If you haven't done so already, please follow on Instagram, TikTok, and wherever that you also listen to the podcast, whether it be Spotify, Podbean, Stitcher Radio, anywhere. And you can request whether through any of the social media handles, Instagram, TikTok, or you can also just email me at moviesallaqueer@gmail.com. This is Sarita Ramirez. Thank you for listening, and I will see you next week with another episode. Bye.